If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So BTS have been keeping us a little bit busy and occupied with their Weverse lives recently, and also a couple Instagram posts that have piqued our interest. One thing that we've been talking about a lot is the hat that RM was wearing on his Instagram that said "Techno is my boyfriend." And immediately some armies were like, "Who's Techno? Let me fight them because you're my boyfriend." But also, right. People are wondering if that's maybe a teaser, if they have like a techno based song on their upcoming album. So I kind of feel like he is teasing a lot. So
yeah, and he's had several hats that have had different genres of music on his hat.
True.
And so people think that maybe it could be a hint at the different genres that they're going to explore within this new album.
He did say in his live that this album spans a bunch of different genres, and that they're really, which I feel like is kind of a mark of BTS's music and albums anyways. Like on any given album, we really talked about that with Love Yourself Tear, that it had so many genres encompassing in that album, but it all worked together and you can kind of like, it's music that anybody would love because of that. So I wouldn't be surprised about that. Something that I'm not really sure that I've seen other people talk about, but just something that personally piqued my interest is some of his Instagram captions recently. Because sometimes he'll have like a really long caption, or, you know, if he's traveling, you know, it'll be like a sentence or a couple phrases. But what stands out is when he just has like a one word caption. And he had one where it looked like he had maybe done like a little vacation with his dad. But the caption was the autumn leaves emoji. And I mean, my theory is about HYYH3.
You have to go there.
Yes.
Right?
So I'm like, oh my God, is this like hinting that like they're doing like, you know, some new version of Autumn Leaves? He also had a caption that was 2.0, and it just made me think about like chapter two or like a reset here. It's like BTS 2.0 post military. He had another shorter one that said green tea. And these are just all like, on their own, kind of obscure, but I'm also like, could these be song titles? Could these be?
There has to be more meaning to that. Yeah. Right.
So that's just what I've been thinking about lately.
Yeah. He did go to Japan with his family recently, and it was nice seeing all of those photos that he posted on Instagram. But yeah, he's been pretty active on Instagram with his song choices for his Instagram posts and just seeing all the different places he's gone, the people within it, the captions. Like I do feel like there has to be some kind of hinting potentially going on,
something in there
with us.
Right.
Yeah. So in this just intro here, I kind of want to talk a little bit about some of the most recent Reverse lives that we've gotten with Jungkook and RM specifically. I feel like RM's Weverse lives, you always have to go a little bit more in depth with them, with him. He talked a little bit about the album. So a lot of the comments, it seemed, in the Weverse live that a lot of armies were really prying for any kind of spoilers. And he said that he's trying not to give spoilers as the company would be startled if he overshares. So he kept reiterating that. But he did say that the album was all connected together and that the album is coming along really well. And he said that the songs are really good. He mentioned it multiple times. Like, they're just really good. Love. They're really good. And as he kept saying it, he seemed more and more confident with what he was saying. Like, nah, yeah, it's really good. Yeah. Which makes me so excited coming from the leader of BTS, obviously, saying, and one of the main writers and producers for their music is saying that this music is basically fantastic. It's really, really well produced. Right. And so he continued to say that BTS, in terms of their style and everything, he said that not only is the album really well connected, but that they're taking what was strong before, but also moving forward with something new at the same time. Mm. And I think that's like everything we could ever hope for, yeah, is that there's that same solid foundation of BTS within the album, but that they're taking what's so strong about them and creating something new with it.
Yeah.
And I love that. He also mentioned that there's many other genres that they're going to have that they've never tried before. That's going to be in the album too.
Oh.
So
techno.
Didn't give too much away, but also shared a lot, I feel,
yeah,
like.
Yeah. No, I love that. You know, it's like they're still being innovative with their, mm-hmm, albums and their creative process, if they're like taking what was strong and moving forward at the same time. I also am trying to think back to any other time where before, even months before an album came out, that he's been so confident about how fantastic it is. Like, I feel like he's, yeah, been like, wait on the album, guys, like, you know, we're working on it, like, it's coming, please wait for us, you know, like, we promise that we'll, you know, do better than last time, stuff like that, but not just outwardly saying like, oh, this is really good. And I feel like coming from someone like Namjoon, of like holding that true confidence, I feel like that speaks volumes.
It does speak volumes, absolutely. And he also commented a little bit of like the self-doubt that he had coming out of the military, since it had been so long since he had written music, that he was a little unsure of what it was going to look like for BTS, yeah, and if he could still do it. But then he ended up adding that the 2 months in LA were actually really worth it. And I love hearing that, you, yeah, know, like, I, that extended period of time in a foreign country, like, I didn't know, especially with their last tour before they kind of started doing military enlistment, he wasn't in the best place. And so I like hearing that he enjoyed his time in LA with BTS, mm-hmm, working on this album, and that it was really worth it. Also, he shared that he's no longer taking medication for his insomnia, and, wow, that stopped back in July when they were in LA.
That's incredible.
To me, that makes me feel like some kind of stress that he was feeling had to have been relieved, or some, yep, kind of underlying anxiety.
Totally.
Was taken away, that he was able to start sleeping again without needing medication. He said he still has the medication in case he needs it, but that he's doing, wow, a lot better.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, in this live, he talked just with ARMY about like, hey, regardless of things that have happened over the years, let's just focus on you and me and us, and to just focus on the album itself and the things that are to come within the next year. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really speak on any comments, but it seems like he's responding to some of the comments that maybe are going through in Weverse, saying maybe potentially related to like recent rumors that are going around or judgments that are being made about BTS. There's been a lot of judgment towards BTS lately, mm-hmm, that was kind of unexpected, and just the rumors are rampant right now. And so I feel like instead of addressing those specifically, he kind of made this more broad comment of, hey, let's focus on each other. It's always been us.
Right.
Focus on the music.
That's what's important.
He makes a comment too about Grammys, about like, hey, let's just put our heads down and do us, yeah, basically.
Yeah. I love that. I think like one of the exact quotes that you shared with me was, stay focused on what's between us. And, mm-hmm, like, there's a reason why that's the title of this episode, because I feel like it's a powerful quote from him.
It is powerful. Very powerful. So yeah. Jungkook's Weverse Live was also incredible. He spontaneously sang some songs, and that was just like a free concert for ARMY. Mm-hmm. I mean, how wonderful of him to share that with us. Like, he has such a gorgeous voice. It's so effortless when he sings. My gosh. He also looked really adorable in this live too. Very soft look, very light fluffy hair, glasses on, very casual. He just looked cozy. Yeah. And we were all cozy with him while he was like serenading us. Amazing.
Loved it.
He shared some personal reflections on preparation with this new album and comeback, and also some reflections on his military service. But yeah, we talked a little bit, Kayla, you and I talked about how this live shows just that this time right now with BTS and ARMY is less about profit and it's more about the personal connection with fans. Yeah. During a more quiet time.
And that's what we're kind of digging into today. We're really excited about this episode topic, just kind of talking about how BTS reach out to fans, connect with fans, and drive that connection even through all of the years that they've been a group. So stick around. We're excited to get into it today.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour, and today we're really talking about the connection and communication between BTS and ARMY. And we're going to be going back to their pre-debut years and how they communicated with ARMY and connected with ARMY back then, all the way up until the most recent dates with Weverse Lives and how they're connecting with ARMY in preparation for their comeback post-military service.
Yeah, we're super excited to dive into this topic. It seems so relevant to what they are actively doing right now, but it's like a part of their history at the same time. Before we get into today's episode, we really want to say thank you so much, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Thank you for being here, for all of your support, and of course for listening.
Let's get into it, because I mean, like we said, this is really driven by wanting to discuss how BTS has, even since pre-debut in their early years, continuing to the peak of their stardom and now post-military, how they gear up for comeback and how they drive connection and communication between them and us, and how this has led to an authentic fan idol connection that we have talked so much about over the years, and why anytime, I'm sure any ARMY listening, when someone asks you in your life, why do you like BTS? It goes back to this connection. So we just wanted to investigate that a bit today.
Yeah, so let's go back to the beginning. So how did BTS begin building a fandom through outreach leading up to their debut in 2013? So BTS created a series of Bangtan logs posted to YouTube beginning January 7th, 2013 with RM kicking it off himself and going all the way up until May 17th, 2013 with a whole group final pre-debut log. And so it's worth noting that between then and debut, they started to also roll out their teasers for their Too Cool for School debut. And these logs were either solo or with duos, and they served one main purpose, which was to find their potential audience and also introducing themselves to the world and their potential new fandom.
Yeah, so over the course of these 24 videos they made, the members covered so many topics. They, through the videos, covered or gave a glimpse into idol life that groups had never before given in this format, like in just a casual YouTube video. It was really game-changing what they were doing as this marketing strategy. Just some common themes of what they spoke about in these videos. One main thing was trainee life and how hard they were working. They spoke about their long hours, their dance practices, their time in the studio, what their training environment was like. They also talked about their hopefulness of being a trainee. And so that really was stood out and was a common theme. Something else that they got to talk about is how they've bonded as they've come together as a group and the relationships between different members. So as they would introduce themselves, they would talk about like what their role in the group was, like, I'm the vocal leader, I'm the dance leader, I'm the leader of the group. But they also talked about their different groupings, like rap line, vocal line, dance line. And through these like duo logs, they also shared inside jokes. They talked about how they support each other. They discussed their dreams and their fears and what debut meant to them, which gave us some of like the bonding between individual members and helped us to start to see their personalities as they discuss these topics.
Yeah, you really get to learn them as individuals and see what their characteristic traits are and just feel like you're establishing a relationship with them because you're getting to know them on such a personal level. I know like those early videos, these pre-debut videos, I find the discussions around trainee life to be so insightful. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so, I just feel like it's so vulnerable of them to be able to share that lifestyle and what that was like and how hard it was for them at that time. I also think about like the titles too that they had given themselves, the rap line, the vocal line, the dance line, the leader, you know, those have withstood the test of time. Like we continue to still make references to the rap line and the vocal line. Like they really set the stage for the fandom to basically jump right in and latch onto these like subunits and, you know.
Yeah, whatnot. This is like, who we are.
Yes. Yeah. It was really a key foundation to the success of BTS and like understanding ARMY too and like gaining ARMY.
I agree.
Yeah. They also too talked about their creative process. So some of the videos captured them working on music, writing, producing, recording demos, discussing future song ideas. It showed that they were serious about their identity as artists and not just wanting to be a performer. Like they were more than just these artists or idols. Like they were really invested in the music and wanted to do everything to the utmost perfection.
Yeah, they had a lot of ownership over their music.
They,
you know,
did. Yes, yeah. They absolutely did.
And pride.
Mm-hmm, for sure. They also talked about their anticipation, excitement, anxiety around debut. They in the videos all convey a very clear sense of like calm before the storm or just before everything changes type of vibe. Like this is where we are now, but like once we're out there and everything's going to be different. And so they reflect on how debut is approaching and wonder how their lives might be or how they might change once they debut.
Yeah. And throughout all of these videos, you know, there were bits of personal moments shared, you know, they happen in every video. Beyond just in the training, there were many moments where members were relaxing, goofing off, joking around, chatting late at night. And I think as viewers, this really humanized them to us. It made them seem like they weren't these unattainable idols, but more like they're a group of friends, like many of us have experienced in our personal lives. And it made them so relatable. And it made us like want to root for them. It made us want to get to know them better.
Yeah, relatable, likable, like just
genuine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also, it was almost like they were speaking to future fans when they were making this video or these videos. It's like they knew that, you know, fans would discover them and come back because when they're recording them. They're speaking directly to the camera. They're sharing their journey like they want to document it. And they make it clear that they want to create something more than themselves and form something beyond just a group. So it's like people like us who weren't around for debut and we discovered these videos years later as we were joining the fandom, we could see where they began, how they built it, how they introduced themselves, the work that they put into it before they debuted, the passion that they had even back then. And they just, throughout all the videos, they have a "we're in this together" theme, making ARMY feel a part of that, making ARMY feel like we're a part of the group as they're, you know, discussing, almost sharing like the most personal things going on with them at the time.
Even without them knowing who we are, we felt so connected to them and such a important part of their lives as much as they were important in ours. So yeah, it created this really, we're in this together connection.
Yeah.
All of these videos helped ARMY to really feel so connected to BTS's journey, specifically having a shared hopefulness in their success and feel familiar with each member's personality, all of which integrated us to them so easily. Mm-hmm. So no matter when ARMY discovered BTS, we'd find these videos one way or another and feel connected to their story from the beginning.
Yeah.
This is also similar to Island with like Inhypen. Yeah. So like if you've watched Island at all, I know that after we watched Island, we couldn't help but to fall in love and root for all of the members because we saw firsthand what they went through to form the group. And so BTS were essentially doing the back in 2013 through like the Bangtan logs, like, hey, this is our lives before we're officially announced as a group and putting our music out there. Right. And so like you fell in love with them, right? Mm-hmm. Like just like when you watch Island, and you start rooting for certain members because you want them to make it into the group. And then once they debut, you're just so excited to see their success and for them to do well and perform well.
Right. And so it gave them a really strong foundation, even before they debuted, of placing importance on the fan and the member connection, that we felt like we were a part of their story. We felt like we were already getting to know them a little bit, and that, you know, I think fans back then could feel, oh, my support of them can influence how this is going to go for them, which made fans, I think, passionate really early on. Then they continued to build fan connection in the early years through a variety of methods. We know that BTS really struggled to be accepted by the industry and break through into the mainstream popularity for their first couple of years. And although it would get them down at times, it didn't dissuade them from continuing to try. They continued to put their authentic selves out there through a variety of content outside of albums. So as they continued to release albums, they also released dance practice videos, studio updates, random everyday life vlogs, vocal covers, and SoundCloud songs. And this extra content helped us again get to know them and get to like see their personalities even more. Like, I think everybody can like envision an iconic dance practice video in their mind, like Taeyong during Just One Day. You know, it's these things where like when you see them, you just can't help but to laugh and just love them. They also at this time were pretty active on Fan Cafe, and they would post blogs, just like updates, kind of like how RM will post a letter to ARMY on Weverse now. He was doing that on Fan Cafe at the time. And then they would directly communicate.
I'm sorry, but Fan Cafe is such a throwback.
I know, right?
Like, I kind of forgot about Fan Cafe.
Me too. When it came up during research, I was like, oh my God, Fan Cafe. Like, I used to like be searching on Twitter for Fan Cafe translations, right. You know?
Right.
I was just like, oh my God, they did do that. But like, that's how they use Weverse now. Exactly.
That's also how ahead of the time they were.
Exactly.
In terms of like this artist fandom relationship.
Well, it's probably partially where HYBE got the inspiration to like create Weverse, because they saw BTS basically interacting with the fans on all these different platforms, and they said, let's just make one platform ourselves, which is, I think that's totally what they did. They also, in like 2013, participated in their very own low budget variety show called Rookie King, in which members parodied and portrayed different popular TV programs and commercials. So that's like a really classic show that put BTS out there a little bit more. Then after that, a little bit later on, they filmed American Hustle Life in LA. And we did a whole, I don't know what, a whole couple episodes, like a mini series on this.
Yeah.
Because
covering
it. Yeah, it was so formative for them. Not only, of course, do we get to like see who more of who they are in something like that, but it was like a boot camp education about the history of hip hop music, where they got to work with hip hop artists, soul artists, you know, these renowned musicians in LA. And they got to do that because, you know, they love hip hop and they wanted to make it themselves, but do it in the right way and show like the proper reverence for it. And I just love this because in this content, they showed their struggles and not just success. And all of these things helped fans feel like we know them personally rather than just knowing the concept of BTS as a group. When watching this type of content, whether that's the dance practice videos, the vlogs, all the way to American Hustle Life, fans rallied behind them as they heard about their struggles, and it made ARMY admire their honesty and root for their success. And so through these, BTS were able to build loyalty through sincerity instead of marketing, which is really brilliant. And again, I just don't think that it was really done that way before then.
No, I don't think so. I think this is a huge part and a huge standout of BTS's success, a contributor to their success, is just that fan loyalty that is so sincere. It continues to be sincere to this day and not all about the marketing. Yeah. So once their music began to gain more traction during the HYYH eras, they made appearances on music competition shows such as like M, Countdown, Inkigayo, and Music Bank. This rallied fan excitement, especially as BTS received their first wins on these stages against other groups. It just really felt like, wow, like, what a struggle. It's finally starting to pay off. We're going to make it. Like, and what's so interesting too about the HYYH era is all of the self-doubt that is just ingrained in the lyrics of those albums, mm-hmm. the anticipation of what could and what could not be, and the hope and the dreams that they had. And it was so vulnerable. And then for that to be the albums that really blew them up, that made them win and made them, you know, go on these shows and start showing numbers to support their success.
Right.
It was just huge. It was so huge. What a moment.
And that we're going to make it really felt like ARMY and BTS together. Like, wow, we are doing absolutely. This. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been ARMY. Yeah. You know, ARMY has always been such a huge part of their success, mm-hmm. for sure. Also around this time, BTS also started to film and post their YouTube variety show Run BTS, and this show highlights their group dynamic, their friendships, and individual member personalities. And truthfully, Run BTS is for sure their most successful variety show of the bunch. Like, we have other types of variety shows, or like we have Season's Greetings, Bon Voyage, mm-hmm. In the Soup. All of these are very successful as well. Like, you know, love Bon Voyage.
Yeah,
love
BV2, the Soup. Shout out.
Yeah, but Run BTS is the OG. It is the staple. It is like the bread and butter of the BTS true group dynamic friendships that you get to see. Like, I mean, you see Taeyong have full-on meltdowns and like pouts in the corner in some of these episodes. Like, this is how truly authentic it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see them even at their not so great moments.
Right.
Like, you really get to know them. And so when we were new fans, we felt like we got to know them so much through their behavior in these episodes.
Yeah.
And so I think it just adds to that connection. Like, you go to these concerts and you see them in person and you're just like, wow, like, I feel like I know that guy.
Yes.
Right? Like,
it makes
weird.
It so much more powerful. And like,
yeah,
honestly, especially as a brand new fan, watching Run BTS, mm-hmm. was like a weekly ritual. You're like, I get 30 minutes of straight, incredible BTS content right now that you could look forward to every single week. New episode. As you become a fan, you have so many episodes to catch up on. It's like, it's the memes, it's the inside jokes, it's the, you know, it's the history. And being able to see it and experience it all is like so special, and something that, like, I mean, especially if you're like a brand new fan or new to K-pop, definitely not something that you experience like as a fan of Western artists either. It's like a whole new glimpse into like who these people are. And like you said, like their best and their worst moments all wrapped up in, you know, one hilarious 30-minute episode. So definitely like a gem with Run BTS, and a huge thing that drove and continue to build the fan connection there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to highlight what you said in terms of like, you don't get this with Western artists. Like when you become a K-pop fan and you come across a variety show like this, it's just insight you never knew that you needed.
Exactly.
Like you're so in love with it. It's just, how can you not be looking forward to an episode of Run BTS? Like, it is just pure joy. Like, you just really get to know them. It's so fun.
It really does drive like the obsession, but also the enjoyment, you know, and it keeps you hooked in the fandom between albums. You still have this like content coming out from them that makes you feel so close to them. So yeah, definitely a highlight of what they've done here. We do need to talk about like their music. You kind of talked about there with HOAH how their music was really connected with fans for the first time at a larger scale, because it was so vulnerable in a different way than their previous albums had been. And it's obviously no surprise that we love BTS's music. Like, that's why we're all here. But it is noteworthy to dive in deeper and talk about why do we love their music so much? Because I think like obviously they're a music group, like that is a huge part of why we feel so connected to them. And something, Bethany, that you and I always talk about is how authentic their music is and how they've always created music that is true to them. That was from the formation of their group. It was always important that they wrote about how they felt and about topics that were important to them. And this was really ensured by Bang PD when he started Big Hit, when he started BTS. He said, I want a different approach to K-pop. And so he supported them in this way, giving them a lot of creative freedom and topical freedom about how they would approach their albums, what kind of themes they wanted, what lyrics they wanted. That's why we have like incredible songwriters on the BTS team, because they've been doing this. I mean, even before they debuted, they were writing music. And Bang PD felt that this approach would make the difference and set them apart in K-pop. And it definitely has, giving them the ability to use their own voice rather than a team of songwriters handing down lyrics that they're just, you know, assigned lyrics and they sing. It makes it feel so much more personal and meaningful to them. And that really translates in how they perform the music.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, Bang PD should have known too. Like, that's true artistry,
right?
Is being able to write about topics that you feel are important and that they want to express themselves through, is by expressing themselves through their lyrics and music. And so, yeah, really a huge part of their success and connection to ARMY too is just being able to write music that is true to them.
And I think
he
must have known that, because he was so experienced in the industry up to this point. You know, like, he had worked with JYP very closely as like a high level producer for that company. And so he had to have been able to kind of take a step back and think, like, if I were to do this, how would I want to do this differently? What do I think that this model, this system is missing that I could innovate on? And that really was like everything that BTS did was innovative. When we talked about like BTS's rise to fame in whatever episode that was, like a year ago or something,
right?
The rise of BTS, whatever episode that is. We really talked about like how much Big Hit and Bang PD focused on needing to innovate as a group and in their approach. And I think that that was, I mean, a huge part of BTS success and why they chose to do the Bangtan Logs, why they did Rookie King, why they started Run BTS and, you know, Bon Voyage and all these other things, because it does make them feel so much more accessible and approachable. So
yeah,
anyways, absolutely. Back to their music though.
Yeah, like we mentioned with their Bangtan logs, BTS, they took us along with their creative process. They showed us all the behind-the-scenes clips, the scenes from In the Soup, and RM's live stream album reviews, giving us those additional insights on the writing process, the creative process, the demos, sharing how songs originally started, how they changed. Really, we've talked so much here on the podcast about specifically RM's album reviews. Yeah. And like him just going through and showing us how the album process went and the creativity behind it. Like, it's some of the best content. I mean, you already feel so connected to the music when you hear it. You mean, you hear it, you connect with it, you read the lyrics, you connect with the lyrics, but then you get the deeper underlying story of where they came from, what these songs not only mean to you and to them, but the thought process behind creating them as well.
Yeah.
How long it took them, where it took place, who originally was going to sing it, what was all of the thought process behind it. And you just are so deeply invested in the music, it's hard not to feel connected to them as artists, and you feel a part of it. You just really feel a part of it.
Yeah.
In their lyrics, they address the strife that youth, but also every age goes through, like the angst, the insecurity, the heartbreak, loneliness. Equally, they soak us in the magnificence of life through playful, joyful, and celebratory songs and lyrics that just empower us to shine. And I mean, that's BTS's discography
yeah.
in a gist. Like, they really embody it all. Like, there is a song for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
For any moment of life, for anything that you're going through, anything you're celebrating, confidence, just going out,
yep.
preparing for an interview, whatever.
Yeah.
There is a song there for you. And it's just them expressing those feelings that you're feeling through beautiful music that is well written, lyrics that are just saying everything that you wish you could mm-hmm. say. And
things that you didn't even know that you wanted to say or needed to say, but then when you yes. hear it, it resonates with you so deep. Even like if you're hearing a song for the first time and it's one of their older songs that is, you know, like mainly in Korean, you don't know what it's saying until you look up the lyrics, you still connect with it on an emotional level mm-hmm. because one of the other things they really focus on is their emotional delivery as they're performing in these songs. So they're thinking about all of those aspects, the lyrics, the production, the delivery, and then even like with the music videos, like the visuals or the photos that come with the albums and how it all comes together and works together.
Yeah.
Something else that I know we really appreciate, ARMY really appreciates in general, is that in their lyrics, not only do they address, you know, what every common day people go through, but they also talk about issues within society. They've addressed inequality, social norms that don't serve us, racism, injustice, just to name a few things. These topics are so important to BTS and to ARMY. It's important to ARMY that the platform that BTS has amassed is not just used for making pop hits and making billions of dollars, but also for using it to spark change and to stand up for what's right. And they've done this throughout all of their albums, you know, in some way they do. And then that even continues on to like them, you know, speaking at public speaking events like the UN or the White House, or, you know, being voices for justice and for change. This, like, the authenticity of their music is really a large reason why fans, why ARMY, why we feel so powerfully connected to BTS, and why we so fervently support them, because we know, like you said, like Bethany said, we've seen the behind the scenes. We get the process through the album reviews, how they create these albums, what it means to them, how we interpret it, but also how it came to be, why they felt like this was an important song or topic to have. And it really does make us feel so much respect for the art that they put out.
Right. Yeah. And these songs also are like major bangers too.
Exactly.
You know, like Bepse, you would have never thought that they're what they're talking about in that song, mm-hmm. but they make the song such a hit that when you dive deeper, it makes you want to dive deeper
yeah.
to know the song even closer. And you look at those lyrics. I think about like J-Hope's Equal Sign mm-hmm. or Auguste's Strange, like all of those songs.
Even all the way back to Are You Late Too with No. I mean, or
social norms,
right? Mm-mm. Or Wale's or RM's collaboration with Wale Change.
Yeah,
dude, that was 2015, yeah. Man. Like, this is clearly like important topics to them, and I think many ARMY feel that those are also important to us and things that we want to be able to talk about and address. So it's great when Absolutely. You are a fan of an artist that you feel can align with your values. And
yes, align with your values, and you have a different level of respect, and also to know that they are just cerebral human beings. Like, right. You know, they are just
thoughtful.
So thoughtful. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're intelligent. But they also, you know, they drive that conversation. Really, really something Absolutely. To appreciate.
Yeah. Their tours are also a major part of their connection to the fans. Someone could walk into the concert having never heard their music and leave with all the awe and wonderment that a seasoned BTS ARMY has for this group. Like, their concerts show their personalities through their mints, the stage presence, fan service, and their very unique performances, especially with those individual performances that we get of them with their solo songs. I mean, each BTS concert we've personally gone to has left us in tears by the end of it. Like, I will never forget the very first concert experience and just being completely drenched in tears at the end. Like, the innate visceral reaction to just start crying when they're leaving. Like, I had never experienced that at a concert before. And then it continued to be a theme for every concert to follow. It was just like, it's not time. It can't be. Like, how is it already over? How are they already leaving? When am I going to see them again? I love them so much. Mm-hmm. I've had such a wonderful, like, happy tears.
Right.
But sad but tears at the same
sad.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it really is because we felt like we were hanging out with them and just having the time of our lives. Like, their connection with us, I feel, is just as strong as our connection with them. Like, some people could say, oh, it's just fan service. Oh, it's just the way that they, like, are trained to speak to us. Right. Like, they're told to do this. But nah. You hear RM on that V Live or Weverse Live, he is not speaking any lies. He's saying nothing but the truth. He's so down to earth. He's so to the point. Mm-hmm. He's very connected with us, and he just expresses how much it's BTS and ARMY and how much he misses us and that he wants to be with us. And I'm sorry, like, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is an adult, very mature, very intelligent man. He's not going to just say it because someone told him to.
Right. He's none of them are that type. You know, if anything, they've historically skirted the line of what they're allowed to say. They've pushed the boundaries quite a bit. And like, if they don't agree with something, we know. I also want to point out, like, the being in tears at a concert, it goes both ways. We've seen members fully, like, break down at concerts. We saw Jimin at the end of the Speak Yourself tour fully crying just because of the feeling of, wow, this tour is coming to an end. This has been such an amazing time with ARMY. I'm so grateful that we've been able to do this.
Yeah.
We've seen Taeyang. We've even seen, I mean, Yoongi at the end of his solo tour, the one of the last people that we would think is gonna, he cried through, like, the entire song, you know? Amygdala, maybe? Mm-hmm. The entire, like, he could barely sing it because just of what that tour meant to him. And you know, and like, we just saw at the end of Jin's encore tour, Jungkook, J-Hope on stage with him, Jungkook fully tearing up, crying, and he even, Jin's like, what's wrong? Jungkook said, I just have thought about this so much. I have been anticipating being back with ARMY. I think we all seven have thought about what this moment is going to feel like when all seven of us are back together. And now I'm here. And I just, you know, he was just overwhelmed with emotion because.
You're talking about Taeyang?
Oh, Taeyang. Yeah.
Was it Taeyang?
I thought it was Jungkook, but yeah, it was probably Taeyang. But
it could have been both of them.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But the, you know, because it just. It means so much. And I remember, like, before you and I had gone to our first concert, we had really built BTS up in our minds, put them on such a pedestal because we had just consumed all of their content 24/7 for like an entire 24/7. Like literally as much as we could nonstop for like 8 months, you know, and or like a year. It was over a year at that point that we had been fans, and then they completely lived up to expectations. I remember before we walked into the concert, we were like, are they even real? Like, I can't believe we're gonna see them with our own two eyes. Yeah. And being in Fort Worth, it was such a tiny concert. Like, at one point, we were like literally 5 feet away from all of them. And to see them really that close and be like, oh my God, they really are real. They really are this incredible at performing.
They really are this beautiful.
They really are this beautiful. I mean, like, yeah, the lighting, they were just glowing. Their vocals are really this phenomenal in real life. And they really do feel as connected as we do. You can see it when they're on stage. You can see it in how they soak it in and how they interact with ARMY. And I know that so many musicians, like, when they are on stage, like, that's where they want to be. You know, that is like their happy place, because they love that energy that they get from their fans. And you can definitely, definitely feel that authentic energy and give and take from BTS and ARMY in their concerts.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Addictive.
It goes both ways for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's also talk about how they maintained connection to us during military service, because I think we and BTS collectively were really dreading this time of service. It kind of came at a tough time, because before that, you know, we had all gone through like COVID shutdowns, tour cancellations, kind of an uncertain time in what albums they can put out, when they can do them, if they have time to tour, etc. And so we were kind of scared that we'd be missing their content and missing them a lot during service. But they pre-planned and created albums and other special content to sustain us for pretty much the entire time that they were enlisted. I remember before they enlisted, Bethany and I brainstormed like a huge list of episode topics that were like more creative, more out there, that we could do while they were in service, because we were just like, we're gonna run out of stuff to talk about. Even if we, you know, talk about these remaining albums we haven't talked about, like, what else can we do, basically? Mm-hmm. We didn't even touch the list the whole time.
Little did we know that we were going to be busier than
ever. We were so busy. There was like so many times we're like, oh my God, like, we can't even keep up with it, because an album would come out and it's the traditional like BTS rollout where they start doing teasers, they put out a music video or two.
We would have to flip a coin on what we were going to talk about.
Literally.
Like, it's either this or that. Like, what? Which one?
I think there was
which
even...
Which one is more important?
I think there was even like a music video with either Jimin or RM's, either of their first albums, that we never got to talk about because more content came out and we just did not have time.
We had to prioritize.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to prioritize. We had to be like, what right now, what does ARMY want to hear more about?
Exactly. Something from 2 weeks ago or something that just came out. It was like, we never felt like we missed them too much until it was very close to the end of service, because it almost felt like they hadn't left at all with how much solo music we were getting from them.
And still attending concerts, right?
Right.
Like seeing Yoongi singing J-Hope and Jin's concert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like being able to kind of like space them out and space their enlistment and their discharge in a way that like they could keep that content going. Like, yeah, when they were all enlisted, we saw J-Hope and Yoongi in concert. We just saw J-Hope like last spring break. I was just thinking about San Antonio earlier.
I was too.
Probably because you were talking about your Sedona trip. I was just thinking about the last trip that we had together. But anyways, I mean, so were they able to go live? No. Were they really able to like post on Weverse? Like, not really. We would sometimes get updates on their Instagram accounts, or we'd get sometimes some written letters on Weverse to describe how service had been and how much they were missing ARMY. But that wasn't like, they weren't super allowed to do that very often. And so their main drive of connection of being like, hey, remember us? We're still a group. We still make amazing music. Mm-hmm. Here's some of our solo work, you know. And other members took some rare time off during military service to attend concerts with other members or events when they were able to get leave. And so just like seeing a little glimpse of them like in the crowd at Yoongi's concert or something, or at J-Hope's concert, like, you know, made us all
of them going Yeah, all of them going out to eat together or something. Yeah, like it would be little moments like that that we would get to see. And that was enough to feed the connection.
I think so, too.
I feel like. But yeah, chapter two with the staggering of the military service, it was really that solo work. It was just like you really got to connect with that member at that time. And that was unique.
That was special.
Because it had always been BTS as a whole, but it was like you got these like segments of time with certain members, like with just Jimin, with just Taeyang, with just J-Hope. And
it gives you time to celebrate and like truly love and maybe even deepen your appreciation for that specific member's music style and approach. And I think
Jin for sure, like personally, I mean, I've always loved Jin. I will say like I've been obsessed with his visuals, but I don't think I really appreciated him as a vocalist to the depth that I do now.
Oh, yeah.
After seeing him do this concert series, and the utmost respect I have for him too, for like his entertainment ability too, like just how funny and outgoing and charismatic he is, you know, seeing him on all these different shows that he's been on too recently. Yeah,
I agree.
Anyways, a different kind of connection, that just like individual member.
Yeah. And, you know, like getting that reverence for each individual member kind of like peppered throughout that service was really, really nice.
Yeah.
But now they're back.
So let's talk a little bit about the reforming personal connection post-military service leading up to their comeback. So it's not a surprise that all of us would feel a little disconnected after 2 years of military service and 5 full years since a studio album has been released. That is wild. Mm-hmm. But both BTS and ARMY have to come back together, find each other again, and reignite that passion that we all once felt before. And so how are BTS approaching this now? Well, interestingly, but perhaps not surprisingly, in the same way that they did back in 2013 through authentic outreach. So after they all returned from the military, they went live to talk to ARMY. And once they were all back, they did an OT7 Weverse Live where it felt like a family reunion, seeing all of them again together. And since then, they've posted vlogs from their time together in LA during their album creation and their travels. They've done a couple other OT7 lives, like on the beach in LA when they were all together. So like we've definitely gotten a lot of just Weverse lives, additional content of all of them together that we've gotten to see, like, okay, yes, BTS is back as a group.
And I think like really that's what we were craving too, knowing that they were all going to be discharged. We could not wait to see them all back together in person.
And them interacting with each other. Like, I think that's part of the best of all of their like variety shows, is seeing the interactions between the members.
Yeah, completely. I think I totally agree with you. And I think that's what like, again, makes us fall in love with them and enjoy them, is just seeing their interactions, their personalities. On their Weverse lives, like they've super randomly gone live without any promotion, literally just to hang out. Like Taeyang has done that quite a few times. Jimin did it last week. Jungkook does it. They maybe throw a few album teasers in there, like we talked about with RM. Probably teasing, but mostly they're just there to chill with ARMY in the chat. And I feel like if YouTube in 2013 had a live chat feature, that's what they would have been doing too.
Yeah.
I just think it's really cool. Through these Weverse lives that they've done recently, we've gotten to know when they were writing, when they were producing, recording, finalizing the album. And again, it's like what Bethany was talking about earlier, that behind the scenes look at their creative process that really makes us like respect them as artists.
I'm just curious, do you think that while they were in LA that they ended up doing a full documentary as well?
Oh, I'm sure. I hadn't thought about that, but just you saying that, like, HYBE is one thing, if you know, if not capitalist, you know, they're going to capitalize on the opportunity to record. And then, like, after this album comes out, like, give the album maybe a month or two to breathe. They'll release a documentary on, like, Disney Plus or Amazon Prime or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure. RM had made a comment about how it felt a little bit like a bon voyage or, like, an In the Soup.
Oh.
So I wonder if they had cameras on
them. I would not be surprised.
I hope not too much pressure, because, I always go back to the Beatles. And whenever that started becoming a thing where they felt like they had cameras all around them while they were trying to record and write music. Yeah. It just kind of takes made it out. The pressure. It makes it a little less fun and less authentic.
I will say, though, like, think
but
about...
But it sounds like they had a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like they had a great time. And it makes me think Yoongi's Road to D-Day documentary, that was like his process on creating that album. I would hope it would be something kind of like that, because I think that documentary is phenomenal.
Yeah,
watching that is like, yeah, you have to love this album. Like, right. You know, sold. It's a, you know, one of the greatest albums of all time because of like getting that behind the scenes content. Beyond the Weavers' lives that they've been doing and, you know, like Instagram, anything like that, Jin has also, since he got out first, he went on tour, he released another album, and he has given us incredible extra content through Run Jin and also through Kian's Bizarre B&B. And both of these series gave us such a renewed love and appreciation for him. Like, we were like, not only is he, like you said, with his tour, so entertaining, has such a stage presence, he's so fun, he has such a great attitude, he loves to laugh, joke around, but the way that he treats people, I think it really stuck with us with Kian's Bizarre B&B. He treats people with such kindness, compassion, patience, understanding, and he's also like so chivalrous. And we're just like, oh my god, love Jin so much. Like,
you love him. Yeah. Yes. And how can you not when you're watching him through all of this content? Like, you really get to see who he is. Yeah.
And it's like,
and with people outside of BTS too, you're like, oh my god.
Right.
Like, the way that he can, the way that he can lead, even like Kian's Bizarre B&B, like, Kian was supposed to be the one who's like really running the show, but Jin could facilitate that shit like no other.
Right, he was
like,
running a tight ship.
Like, yeah.
He used to run a dorm of six other boys, you know? He had to have dinner on the table. It is, and seeing like the comments from people outside of BTS who like have never met Jin before and are thinking, you know, this is this larger than life K-pop idol, like biggest, you know, boy group in the world.
Worldwide handsome.
Worldwide handsome. And then he's so humble. And he, you know, he's like of service to everybody. It's incredible to see. It's like, how would you not be endeared to him, you know? We've also gotten to see members step out at fashion shows, which we had a whole episode about because we loved it so, so much. We've seen them participate in brand deals. Like, Jungkook just recently had another Calvin Klein ad.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. We were dying. I mean, seriously, him like leaning back on the bed, like, death.
Abs out.
Yeah. Abs out. Yeah. Taeyang, like, he just became an ambassador for Tear, a Korean foundation brand that's actually pretty well known in the US because they went viral on TikTok a couple years ago. And they seem to be an amazing brand, just an excellent brand that expanded their shade range within 2 weeks after going viral in the US to accommodate a wider variety of skin tones outside of what is more common in Korea. Taeyang also literally just today announced to be the ambassador for Coke Zero. I love, because I'm a Coke Zero girly. Coke Zero over Diet Coke. I know you're a Diet Coke drinker, Bethany, but...
No, I'm a Diet Coke
Coke Zero is so much better. It tastes so much better. I love to... And you know, it does.
Have you heard that people refer to a Diet Coke as a fridge cigarette?
Yes. Diet Coke people are like a specific type of person.
I don't know. I like the flavor.
It's just... Sing. I think Coke Zero tastes the most like regular Coke without like regular all the sugar.
Yes.
And also, yes, I love like the pure red can for Taeyang, you know, our red boy. He just looks so good with red. Like, yes, in the ad, he's like, yes, holding up the Coke Zero right by his face and it looks incredible. We also just announced today too, J-Hope made his own line with the Human Made brand called Human Hope that he was so excited about, saying this is something that fully represents who he is, something he really thought about and poured himself into. So since getting out of the military, BTS have been able to re-engage with fans through, you know, different brand deals, brands that they align themselves with, stepping out looking incredible in the fashion sphere, and really not just showing ARMY, but showing the world remember us? This is who we are. Look at us, appreciate us, you know. And then, like, we kind of touched on a little bit earlier their special content, like Bon Voyage or Run BTS, and Jimin and Jungkook on December 3rd on Disney Plus are about to release season 2 of Are You Sure? And of course, they came out with season 1 when they were all enlisted. So this is highly anticipated content that's going to be like behind the scenes, them vacationing together, getting into, you know, shenanigans, Jungkook, and
looks hilarious.
It looks amazing.
It really does. The teaser trailer that they've put out already, like these two, like even just seeing them like panic packing, and you can tell that they have a lot planned for these two, like trying to like run and catch the train, like they're missing the train. Like, I just, it's so funny, and I know that it's gonna be just a really special series with these two.
It's this type of content, like the brand deals or the series, that, you know, make us feel like, oh, BTS is back. BTS is back. Mm-hmm. They're better than ever. They're exactly how we remembered them to be, except for like with 20 more pounds of muscle mass. And, you know, it like excites the entire fandom for their upcoming content and to like re-engage with what they have in store for us.
So that's all the most recent content that they're putting out that's going to be having us still connect with them and know them deeply as individuals. So, ending thoughts here, like, really, BTS didn't build a fandom by acting like idols. They built ARMY by being themselves, being real, authentic people. ARMY feels so connected to BTS because they've always been transparent, accessible, relatable, funny, and messy, truthful about their lives, and because they show their unfiltered creative process. They create a blueprint for global fandom culture, truly. That is what it is.
And nowadays, like, other K-pop groups, especially under HYBE, follow this model because it was so successful.
It's a model
for BTS. They created a new model. What's really cool is that their early social media strategy persists even to this day, just with some evolutions. Like we said, right now, as BTS are preparing for what's, in my opinion, practically a brand new debut for them in March, they're communicating with us in some of the same ways they did in 2013. Instead of Bangtan Log on YouTube and posting on Fan Cafe, it's Weverse Lives and posting messages to the Weverse artist thread. Different platform, same type of content and engagement.
Yeah, it's funny because sometimes we're like, oh my god, they're not doing anything right now, we're dying for content. But really, we need to be patient for their music and enjoy the connection that they're working to rebuild since military service. So the album is coming, the album's done. In the meantime, while we're waiting for it, let's enjoy all of these really special moments, special content, and personal connections that we get with them. In the meantime, let's focus on us, right? Let's focus on ARMY BTS.
Like RM said.
Yes, like RM said. So BTS work hard to build and maintain this authentic connection with us through various methods centering around their true selves, the genuine care for music, and the well-being of fans. And this is why we are so deeply rooted in this fandom, why we love BTS, and why they love us so much. So let's stay focused on what's between us, right?
Yes.
Let's stay here.
Let's stay here. Let's look together to the future. Don't worry about anything else. Well, we really hope, Iconics, that you enjoyed this episode and kind of our deep dive into how BTS have always communicated with their fans, why it works, and, you know, what methods they continue to do so, and how that's really created this authentic, genuine relationship. Sometimes as ARMY, we can be made to feel silly for how deeply we care about them, how much we feel connected, how much we feel like we know them and love them.
This parasocial relationship.
It does. And, you know, at the same time, this is where it came from. This is how it came to be, and it was intentional. And it's two-sided, you know? It goes both ways between both BTS and us. So definitely something to enjoy. And if you enjoyed this episode, we would love to hear it. You could write us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.